see Zendaya like you've never seen her before.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court.
For more than a decade, she has had former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell.
It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules.
See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. $0 commission applies to online U.S. equity trades and ETFs and retail Fidelity accounts. Sell order assessment fee not included. Some account types and securities excluded. Details at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Three of them have gone on one
Victoria,
date with him.
Pete, those are his girlfriends.
Right.
Everybody else is like some girl he talked to briefly at a party a couple of times.
Maybe like pecked.
Yeah.
Maybe made out with.
That's true. He's made out with a lot.
Yeah. It's like you got drunk at a party and you made out with a guy one time and then you're like, he's my boyfriend.
Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on The Bachelor and Bachelor adjacent shows.
Whether you love The Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Lee Blickley.
Guys, today I just want to tell you a little bit about what I perceived to be my truth in the moment that I was asked for my truth. I had a responsibility to tell you, my beloved podcast listeners, the truth that I felt in my heart was the truth then. I'm not saying it's the truth now, but my truth is the truth. And my truth is, this season is a little rough. Like, the turbulence has caused literal bruises. So this week, Lee is off in Park City enjoying Sundance. So our wonderful colleague, Elise Foley, who you might recognize from our show in D.C., thankfully came on up here to fill in. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for taking me away from impeachment coverage for an evening.
I mean, look, there are two major events going on in America right now, and we're here to talk about the more important one.
The one with an equal number of lies? I don't know.
Yeah. But, oh my gosh, Elise, I had trouble with last night's episode.
I enjoyed certain parts of it a lot. I felt like there was some fun behind the scenes stuff and breaking the fourth wall, which I very much enjoy
the
always.
The Victoria date was the highlight for
me. Awesome. So good. Great TV.
Yeah. She's bad, but the date was good.
Exactly.
Yeah. we begin with some, like, cheeky music playing. We cut to the Bachelor Mansion. The girls are all just, like, sitting around in their PJs talking about Alea and how she'll definitely never come back. And they're just so glad all that drama is obviously over forever. And then Chris Harrison arrives. And he's like, who wants a biscuit?
What was up with the biscuits? Did they follow through on the biscuits?
I never saw them. I'm like, that is so mean. If you, like, told me, like, come into this room,
like,
there,
yes.
There are fresh biscuits, and then it's like, actually, go pack your
are
suitcase.
Are biscuits a Cleveland thing?
Oh, wow. I have no idea.
I've only been there once.
I've never been to Cleveland.
I went
this
for
is
the
not a knock
Republican
against Cleveland.
Convention. It's beautiful.
Yeah,
it's
we
nice.
Will. We will.
We can get into Cleveland later.
I know. We're not going to do Cleveland dirty like the show did. Man, rough edit for Cleveland.
So rude.
No biscuits. It was a real cruelty. Chris is like, "Don't worry, guys. Peter is here for you, and he thinks one of you is his wife for sure." So like. Don't worry that he's been losing his mind and that all of you've been losing your minds. Like, it's fine because it's time to leave LA. Dramatic pause. We're going to Cleveland.
I have to say, this was my favorite of all of the announcements of traveling somewhere.
They make them, like, refilm that five times.
Right. They're like, Rhode Island. I've always dreamed of going.
Yeah, they're like, West Virginia.
And this is, again, like, not, not a knock against any.
Cleveland.
I just feel like pretty much any, most cities in the United States, if you're like, we're going to world travel, you're not like so thrilled to go to like a third tier city. Any, in any state,
oh,
this is not
oh,
a.
Oh, man.
Okay, not th- whatever. I mean, like, not one of like the biggest cities,
right,
in the United States. Like, a,
from,
like,
and you're in LA,
so right? You're like, in LA. You're already in.
You're like in a mansion.
Yeah,
it's like you're gonna go to Cleveland and stay in a Hilton.
Honestly, no, not the suite. The suite looked nice. The suite looked very nice. I mean, honestly, I think that most of the excitement that the women actually feel is just like, oh, we get to get the fuck out of this house.
Yeah, leaving.
Like, I would be excited, too.
Yeah.
I'd be like, I don't care where you take me. Are you saying I get to walk in an airport among people that aren't these, like, 15 women that I've been sitting on a couch with
yeah.
for, like, 12 days? Yeah. So they arrive in Cleveland. Not super excited, but Peter is going to make it up to the Cleveland Tourism Board. He knows a lot about Cleveland. Like, the fact that Clark Kent is definitely from Cleveland.
I had an observation about this, which is that this morning I Googled Clark Kent, and one of the things on Google that it suggested was Cleveland. And it turns out that the people who made Superman are from Cleveland, so Cleveland is trying to, like, claim it.
Okay.
So it's a thing.
Okay,
apparently.
So it is based in some truth. No, that is helpful, because I was just like, I swear Smallville was not in Ohio.
Exactly. I was like, I don't know a lot about Superman, but I did watch the WB show,
so, and I'm pretty sure there were, like, a lot of cornfields in it, because they
definitely
were in Kansas. Okay, I'm glad that that was based in something and not just, like,
this is my
Peter
extensive
being,
research.
No, thank you for your investigative reporting, Elise. That's why we, you know, that's why we bring in
that's
the
why
big
I'm here.
Guns. Yeah. Okay, fine. I'll forgive Peter a little, because clearly that information was fed to him. Meanwhile, the women are just like, wow, Midwestern people, they just have big hearts.
They were like, the community here is so tight-knit. Like, how do you know? Who have you talked to?
It's like a metropolitan city.
Like, maybe. Sure.
Also, like, what community? Like, the entire city of Cleveland?
I guess. I don't know. Not a Cleveland expert.
Yeah, I think they were just, like, feeling guilty. Like, the producers were like, you really shot the bet with your excitement for Cleveland. But, yeah, they go to their nice penthouse. Everyone's just so ready to see their boyfriend. This has been a thing that has been developing the last few seasons. Have you noticed this?
Yeah.
This, like, my boyfriend.
I don't love it. I mean, I guess it makes sense.
It does, but it's
they're
like,
talking about, like, becoming his wife, which
yeah.
also I'm like, but that's the point of the show. But the boyfriend, it's like, man, I wouldn't be cool with my boyfriend dating so many other women.
Well, exactly. Like, he's not
I mean,
really...
I couldn't go on the show.
Yeah, for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, I would lose my mind.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know about the boyfriend thing. Every time, and sometimes the people who say it, like in this instance, it was somebody who I was like, who are you?
It was Kiera, I think, and it was like
I remember her.
Yeah, I like her, but clearly she's spent next to no time with Peter. I mean, that's why all the women are angry this
yeah.
episode, because they have had no time with him. So then it feels weird for them all to be referring to him as their boyfriend when
yeah.
only
like
three
Madison,
of them. Three of them have gone on one
Victoria,
date with him.
Pete, those are his girlfriends.
Right.
Everybody else is like some girl he talked to briefly at a party a couple of times.
Maybe like pecked.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
made out with.
That's true. He's made out with a lot.
Yeah. It's
of
like
them.
You got drunk at a party and you made out with a guy one time and then you're like, he's my boyfriend.
Although, to be honest, that's what I think happened with Victoria F. and Chase. Chase Rice.
Oh, we will
we
get,
in,
into,
we'll get
that
into that
later. I have a lot to. I did do some research on Chase Rice. So. McKenna continues to lose her mind. This is a theme now.
Love McKenna's faces.
Very memeable.
She seems very annoying. I wouldn't enjoy hanging out with her. Her level of freaking out all the time is incredible.
She's like, she always is like, this is what I deserve. I deserve this date. And then she never gets the date.
And she always says Peter is missing out by not getting to know her, which is nice. It's so obnoxious and so full of herself, but I'm like, yeah, McKenna, it's about you too.
Yeah,
it's not
you
just
know what?
About
you. Got to respect that. Yeah.
But then she's also...
She's very annoying. She's also... I should clarify.
I'm in agreement with you about all of this. She also, like, repeatedly talks about how Peter is basically her dream man, and it's just so upsetting that he doesn't know her heart.
Yeah. It's very entitled, too, of, like, well, I like him, so... Yeah. This is what I should get.
He's my dream man that I've spoken to four times.
A lot of these women, you get the sense that they've never not gotten a guy.
And I believe they haven't,
which
honestly.
I'm sure is true.
I'm sure it's very true. Like, it must be rough for them. Like, these are all, like, the hottest women wherever they live. And they definitely don't need help getting a date.
Yeah.
And suddenly, they're competing with 30 people for the attention of one, like, mediocre white dude. half Cuban dude. And it must be like, it's like a new experience for them. Whereas I would be very comfortable being ignored.
I'd be
by
like,
a man.
I get it.
I'd be like, yeah, this feels this like most of my life. Yeah. I'd be like, oh, walk into a bar and no one talks to me? Yeah.
That sounds
talk
right.
To my friends. Yeah, exactly. Oh, my, you want to talk to my hotter friends? Yeah. Yeah. I would feel very comfortable in that position.
All right, so Victoria's date.
Yeah, Victoria gets the one-on-one, not McKenna, and the date card says, "Today our love soars to great heights." And Victoria freaks out immediately because she says she's afraid of heights. We need to talk about this. Multiple people have sent me a post on Instagram from 2014 in which Victoria Fuller is skydiving.
So weird. I mean, maybe she was doing it as some sort of, like, fear immersion. Like, when people, like, get in a thing of spiders to conquer
but
their fear.
But she just talks so... It's not even, like, she's like, I've done skydiving, and she's calculating.
Knows to manipulate the producers by saying she's afraid of something
that
she loves.
I always say I would do that. Like, I'm so afraid of puppies. Terrified. I've had a lot of, like, Annalise-level trauma. I know.
I feel like roller coasters are my nightmare.
Yeah.
Play a clip of a roller coaster.
This date actually kind of rolled.
Looked fun.
It looked really fun. But I'm just saying, calling bullshit on Victoria Fuller being afraid of heights.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff about Victoria Fuller.
That is bullshit. Yeah. Obviously, we've already touched on her, like, latent white supremacy. So,
yes.
Yeah. Peter is going to take her up in a tiny plane.
Shock.
To see Ohio.
Is he a pilot?
Oh, I don't know. Can you Google that? And they, you know, see the beauty of Cleveland from above. It looks very nice. And then they fly on over to Cedar Point Amusement Park.
Apparently famous.
I have been there.
Oh, really?
Awesome. So, okay. This is such a weird thing. I was there one time in my life when I was a teenager, and I was at summer camp, and we were supposed to go on a camp trip with, like, a couple other camps to Michigan. But on the way there, a few people that we were on the bus with broke out in what they thought were chicken pox, but in fact turned out to be chiggers bites.
Oh.
Very weird. But because they thought it was chicken pox, we couldn't go to this other camp that we were supposed to go to. But we had already driven all the way from the East Coast, from, like, Pennsylvania, Maryland. We were in Ohio at this time. So they just, like, redirected these buses of teenagers to, like, a random, like, Hojo. And then we went to Cedar Point for the day. And
that
was, like,
great.
It was really, really fun. And I have only good memories of Cedar Point. It's a really fun amusement park.
You didn't see any exes and have to dance in front of them?
No, I saw no exes. And that is my whole experience, honestly, with Ohio. So
sounds nice.
Yeah, it was. It was great. Cedar Point, a very famous and very fun amusement park.
See, we are boosting Ohio.
Exactly.
Cleveland.
Sponsor
Ohio,
me, Cleveland.
Pay us.
They go on over to Cedar Point, and Victoria is suddenly just, like, on board with all of the crazy rides.
I'll do it again.
Yeah, she's like, I'll do
right
it
away.
Four times and be launched in the air. And then it looked like the most stomach drop-inducing ride possible, but she was actually
fun.
Into it.
Yeah. They, of course, have to claim that this is, like, falling in love and, like, leap of faith. Of course.
They also got shit weather. Did you notice all of a sudden they were, like, soaking wet and no one acknowledged it?
Yep.
Victoria looks very pretty with, like,
slightly damp hair, though.
I know she did.
It really worked for her.
I wonder how I'd feel about her if I didn't know the...
That she was a white supremacist?
The White Lives Matter Marlin situation.
I think I would feel a lot better about her.
I think I would still find her annoying, because...
Same. But it's just really hard to come back
from... She also seems kind of fun when she wants to be.
Yeah.
Like the basketball clip at the very end.
And I also thought that she and Peter actually have chemistry.
They do.
They totally do. They seem to have a good time together. This is one of the rare dates that we've had where we've gotten to just see two people
like
hang
laughing
out with each other.
And engaging. And I like that refreshing. They went and sat and had a beer.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, that looks like a fun date.
Like, I want to go to Cedar Point.
Yeah.
Go on a roller coaster, have a beer. Sounds awesome. This actually looked like a good date.
Yeah, it did.
Until, you know, later. Until it's time to move on to the second, third phase of this day portion. This is a very extended
First, we
date.
Should talk about the weird toast.
You mean they sit at a diner and Victoria decides to toast to, quote, our sons having hot moms and successful dads.
Is this a polyamory?
Right. Like, I have a lot of questions. First of all, this doesn't make sense. How does she know they'll only have sons? Why are these sons, why do their sons have multiple fathers and mothers? And also, why is this entire thing so sexist?
It felt like she frames herself around being hot a lot.
Yeah.
In the show, in general. Like, her freaking out about the modeling and then being like, I'm in lingerie. I feel great. Which she is hot.
She is hot.
But it's like, aren't you more?
Right.
Are you more than hot?
You would love to see a woman consider the possibility that there's something beyond being a hot mom.
Yeah.
Not that that's bad.
Also,
that's
even
great.
Success is important, obviously, but like, there's more to being a dad than being a successful. Like,
oh, absolutely.
You wanna be like a nice, good
right.
dad.
Right. There's nothing wrong with being hot or successful. Great things.
Yeah.
That's good
I mean,
for you.
I enjoy being both.
Yeah, exactly. As an extremely successful hot person, but not a mother, I can say it's fantastic. But you would just, there's something really gross feeling about the contrast between the hot mom and the successful dad.
Totally. Totally. It's very 1950s.
Also, girl, don't sell yourself short. Get a hot dad, you know?
Totally.
Like,
honestly, the comment wouldn't have bothered me if she said hot mom and hot dad.
Yeah, or successful mom and successful dad.
Yeah.
It was the contrast that was weird. And then also, she was talking about them, but in multiples. And, you know.
And then Peter was saying he wants to have either two or four kids so that they can go on roller coasters, which is so weird and kind of endearing, but like, is that how you've thought about it?
Like, you're like, I couldn't possibly have one or three children because they will have to sit on the roller coaster alone.
You know, some roller coasters have like three or five. Like, you can't plan your life around a roller coaster.
I mean, Peter can. Peter can and will. He's always said it.
Yeah, his whole life. It actually is kind of cute to picture, like, a 10-year-old be like, you know, it's important to me to have two or four because of roller coasters.
Well, Peter doesn't have to be the
Peter's
one.
Peter's in a family of four.
He also doesn't have to be the one getting pregnant.
Yeah.
So four kids probably sound great to him. As a woman, I was like, dear God.
Yeah.
That seems like a lot of pregnancy. But they are just super into each other. So Pete's really excited because, like, they're about to go to a surprise Chase Rice concert. Chase Rice happens to be, in Victoria's language, an ex.
Right.
Let's talk about this.
Right.
From what I have read from the statements that Chase Rice has made, it seems more like they hooked up one or two times.
Yeah, he said they had one night together.
In Charlotte.
Yes.
And it's not that I think, like, his word is bond, you know.
No.
I'm sure. Also, they could have, like, run in the same circles, been flirting for a while. They seemed to be quite comfortable around each other and, like, and friendly. And I also think that this was really just, like, a beautiful coincidental blessing for production.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Because I think Chase Rice is the kind of, like, third-rate country star that they would book on this show anyway.
Yeah.
And then I'm sure once they realized Victoria knows this guy,
they're like, hell yes.
They put her on his
perfect
date. Because he's also said he had no idea.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounded like he signed up to be on and then was totally surprised. And he's been kind of saying that he's upset with production for it. He's like, don't drag me into this.
I listened to a radio interview with him, and he basically said at the time he was frustrated and kind of upset because, yeah, he didn't sign up. The musical guests on the show are never a part of the plot.
They never show them talking to them. Like,
no, he's there to promote his music.
Yeah, that was interesting to see.
But I actually loved it. Yeah, so Victoria and Pete go out on the, you know, the tiny platform surrounded by people. Looks like a real nightmare. And Victoria realizes real quickly that it's Chase Rice. You know, she
clearly
knows the music.
It seemed like as soon as she heard the music, yeah, she was like, her eyes just got bigger. She's just like, oh, no.
Yeah, and then she's kind of trying to avoid Chase's eye contact. You also see a look of surprise and a little bit of befuddlement in his face, but they're just powering through. And Pete even comments like, oh, you know the lyrics to this song.
I thought it was funny that she was trying to pretend she didn't know him but also was singing along. It's like, pick a lane. Like, you need to, like, what are you doing here?
I think she was just flustered.
How do you think she should have handled this? Because she didn't tell Peter at the time that she knew him.
I think that if you were able to plan this, the wisest thing to do would have just been like, holy shit, I dated that guy. This is so weird and funny. Like,
yeah,
say
I think
that
you have
right
to
away
frame it as funny.
As funny.
Right away.
Yeah, like, oh,
that's
this is
the
super
best
awkward, but
it.
I know him. You know, even something like that. I get why she sort of clammed up and didn't say it in the moment.
Especially being in front of all those people.
Right. Like, I don't actually blame her for not.
No.
It just made it harder on herself.
I think she spun out in a degree that she didn't need to later, but I kind of get why she didn't say something right away.
Same.
I think in an ideal world, though, you would just be like, oh, man, this is so awkward. Crazy. Like, I used to date that guy.
Yeah.
And you would laugh.
I also imagine after, it seems like she and Peter were kind of separated with producers.
Yes.
Because we didn't really see the two of them interact again, but we did see both Peter and Victoria interact with Chase. Which was fantastic because we never see those more casual interactions, and it was kind of refreshing. Peter's like out here trying to make friends with Chase,
I know,
like
giving him his number. He's like 2 B's or whatever.
I loved it. And Chase is, to his credit, like not blown up Victoria's spot. He
seems very chill.
He seems very chill.
Chase Rice, he came across pretty well.
I thought he was sort of the star.
Yeah.
When he talked to Victoria,
he was like just be yourself.
Yeah,
he seemed nice. They didn't seem like an awkward.
I don't think so. They didn't seem like there was any animosity.
Right. Like, I know it could be really disturbing to run into an ex if they're like, you know, somebody who
was the love of your life and you broke your heart.
Yeah, it was really painful. But they didn't seem like that. They just seemed kind of like, oh, hey. Like,
I think
this is kind of
weird. Casually hooked up or dated.
Yeah.
And Victoria was freaking out because she was worried about how it would reflect on her to Peter.
Right. I thought it was interesting that they didn't seem to acknowledge this, but it seems like you could see the argument being he would think that she was bad, that she dated a kind of semi-famous guy.
Right.
Now she's on this show. She's wanting to date another famous guy. But they didn't get into that, which I thought was interesting because they didn't really get into why it would be upsetting to Peter that she dated.
I don't think
Chase
they had to get into the why because Victoria was just losing it, which all I kept thinking was, girl, you're allowed to have dated someone.
Exactly.
Like,
I mean,
cares?
It's weird, but
also, Peter's not a complete idiot. He knows that production obviously took advantage of this.
Yeah. I felt like you could tell when they were talking about it that he was like,
he was annoyed at production.
I got played here.
Yeah. So they get to the nighttime and Victoria kind of which is good, right up front, tells him, but she is totally freaking out, starting to cry really, really early on. And she says, you know, I broke it off with Chase because his lifestyle doesn't match up with what I want, and I really wanted to give it a try with Pete, with you, Pete. And his reaction is kind of great. He's like, wait, like the singer Chase?
He's like, what?
Like that guy the guy I'm buds with now? Like that, like, wait, the guy at the concert?
Yeah.
That's weird. That's so weird.
Yeah. Which is the only good reaction.
Yeah, I thought it was genuine
and
charming. He just keeps whispering, like, this is so freaking weird.
That felt like a, oh gosh, it's weird to be on TV moment.
Yeah.
It's so weird to be The Bachelor.
He couldn't say like, oh man, fuck you production, but also well played.
Right.
So he just keeps saying it's weird. And Victoria, when she gets anxious, she starts whispering.
Yes. And leaves and goes and hides in a corner.
I don't understand it. I don't understand either of these
moves. This is the second
time
we've seen her do this.
Like, why are you whispering? You still have a mic on.
Yeah.
Why? She does a lot of baby voice, a lot of whispering.
Yes.
A lot of, I'm so fragile, I have to walk away. Like, if you just don't even want to try with me, I understand. And of course,
and you're watching it and it's like, what? Why would he, like,
and then that puts
would
him
you break
in a position.
Up with somebody because you saw their ex? Like, no. Like, that's crazy. Whatever.
It makes no sense.
Yeah. And she seems like the type of person who can get spun up. And I wouldn't be surprised if producers were, like, helping her along that path. Like, oh, do you think he's going to be upset?
Oh, absolutely. I also think, though, she knows how to get someone's sympathy.
Oh, totally.
And she does it well.
Yes. Victoria trait, perhaps.
Yes. God. So they make out. Pete's like, let's just laugh it off. And Victoria's so relieved. She's like, Peter's an amazing man because he's accepted me at my lowest point.
Lowest point? I know. I was like, oh, what a good life.
Your lowest point is that one time you saw your ex who you hooked up with like 3 times.
Yeah.
That's your
great.
Lowest point?
That's so,
I'm so
happy,
for
her.
You.
Yeah. Like, well, she's only 23 or something.
24, yeah.
I've had worse moments by 24.
Worse than seeing an ex while I'm on a date with another hot guy. Yeah, I had worse than that by 24.
I had worse than that by like 10.
Exactly.
Anyway, they dance in front of a cello guy. Victoria didn't date him.
Well, that's why we don't care about him.
Unimportant. Peter's move that she was honest with him, which
it's all he wants.
It's all he says is like, thank you so much for being honest. To anybody.
To anybody.
That's like
all
he needs from somebody is to just share their truth.
He needs them to share their truth, be honest, and then he can look at their heart in their chest see how beautiful it is. I want more for Peter, honestly. More than just you have a woman who said she had an ex-boyfriend. Like, he's like, this is how I know we're building a really strong foundation and meaningful relationship.
Yeah.
And I just want... I want better indicators for Peter in that.
Yes. Yes. You should hope for more.
Yeah. But back at the house, we start, you know, getting the lead up to the group date. The women are all say, you know, they think Victoria is probably going to get the rose. They seem to have a good connection. McKenna, again, does not want another group date. She wants the one-on-one. So we know she will definitely get the group date.
Yeah.
And the group date goes to Victoria P., Kiara, Kelly, Deandra, Madison, Lexi, Shan, Tammy, Sydney, Hannah Ann, Savannah, McKenna. Let's tackle love together. So this is a huge group date, and it means that Kelsey is the only one left, so she's going to get the one-on-one. So immediately, all of the women on the group date
furious
are
from
angry,
the start.
Which I would be, too, because you can tell this is going to be an awful sports challenge date.
Yes. One of the most obvious love cards.
Yes.
Love
cards.
Date cards.
I prefer love cards.
Yeah.
And also, they know they're already not going to get any time to talk to Peter.
Yeah. Especially the competition ones, they don't get any time.
And
if it's 13 people, they super don't get any time.
And a lot of these women had to do the first competition date.
Yeah.
Like, if I was made to do 2 physical challenges on this show, I mean, there's so many reasons I can't go on this show, but... being a part of a sports-related physical challenge, like, that just gives me...
I would definitely be like, my back.
Yeah.
It's injured.
It gives me real, real, like, 6th grade gym class...
Totally.
...trauma vibes. I did actually relate to McKenna on this
date. Oh, totally. Watching her try and catch the ball and then be like, let me try again, and then again.
Again,
totally.
Being really bad. See, except then I really hate being bad at things, so I probably would have started crying from
sheer
frustration.
Oh, definitely, I would have started crying.
Yeah.
I played softball for a while, like adult softball, and I cried just all the time.
Yeah, I don't like to be bad at things.
I would be like, oh my God, such a failure.
I cry when I get a lot of gutter balls at bowling.
Oh, it's horrible.
It's really frustrating. I don't like it.
We're revealing a lot.
Yeah, I don't. Look, this is not a good side of myself, but I don't do well with this. But these women, a lot of them are quite athletic. And they are ready to play football.
I was very impressed. Very impressed.
In the Browns stadium. I did wonder, you know, the NFL is really investing in a PR campaign nationally. Yeah. Because parents are, of all the CTE, parents are pulling their kids out of football leagues.
Yeah.
And so the NFL, I was like, is this part of the NFL's like image boost? Like, look how fun this game is. It just brings women together. We love women.
Maybe. I mean, I thought they showed a crazy amount of just football.
Yeah.
Like, just watching them play football. I was like, what am I watching? Why am I watching this?
They got legit coached by two former Browns players.
Yeah. I was very impressed, though, by how good some of them were.
Sheehan?
Yeah. So good. Deandra was good.
And Deandra, they're really good at football.
They were really fast, too.
Yeah.
This is all I know about football. These are... You have to catch it. You have to run fast.
And you then you beat the shit out of people, too.
Yeah. Take people down.
Yeah. I would be bad at all of it. I would be the one, like, running around, like, trying to run around, like, near the ball, but never, like...
Yeah.
Never be the one that anyone wants to throw to.
No. Yeah. I'm just looking like, at the sky.
Oh, I tried. Oh, yeah. It's so sad. I couldn't get to it. Meanwhile, Victoria P. is pulling off the scam of the century.
Oh, genius. So smart.
So smart. I would have been so bitter at her because I would not have had the balls to do it.
Right.
She pulls it off so well. She manages to get out of it and not look bad, like, to the lead.
And get extra attention. So she's like, my back hurts. One thing I've noticed about Peter is he doesn't seem as shy as I think would be wise of him to be about showing affection to women in front of other women.
No one
so
on this season.
He's over on the side, like, rubbing her back and, like, they're laughing. I just feel like if I were one of the women playing, I'd be pissed.
Same. Look, he's not strategic.
No. He doesn't think ahead. He's, like, very in the moment in a way that is bad.
Yeah, I agree. But some of these women are excellent at football. Victoria's off there, like, giggling, getting a massage, and coaching, quote-unquote. Mm-hmm. She basically just yells, like, yay! And the whole thing is, one of these teams is supposed to win and therefore get more private time with Peter. So they are, like, tackling each other.
Yeah. They're getting out their frustration and aggression on the field.
Oh, yeah. These women, they multiple times, the women afterwards bring up that they have actual bruises all over their bodies.
Yeah, Natasha had, like, an ice pack and, like, a...
like, women are out here getting injured on this football field, and Victoria is getting a neck massage.
Good for her.
Good for her, yeah. Good scam. Their team names are, like, who named these teams? One was the Killer Bees because they were wearing yellow.
Yeah.
My boyfriend is very scared of bees, specifically their thoraxes. And so, like, that's all. It's very weird.
What's their thorax?
Like,
it's been a while since
they're, like,
school.
The, like, bulbous part of their body.
Like, their main,
main part. So that's, like, all I could think about.
What a specific.
Really weird. but endearing. And now he's ruined bees for me because that's all I think about. I was like, where are the women's thoraxes?
Oh, boy.
But they end up tying, thanks to Deandra.
Yes.
Just gets a touchdown last minute. And everyone is pissed. Madison is pissed. Natasha's pissed.
I loved Madison being pissed because all we've seen of Madison is being so sweet and happy. And she's like a former amazing basketball player.
Yeah.
She's an athlete. Oh, I see
and
it.
She grew up in a football family, I think.
I was like, yes, this is... I like the edge
same.
On Madison.
Same. I want...
It's nice to see it.
You know, that locker room part was actually quite charming to me because we got to see Madison and Natasha and Deandra and, like, all these women and Sheehan, like, all these women that have really been pushed to the sidelines.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Madison, not in the show, but the last two episodes, we've hardly seen anything from her. And we got to see more of their interpersonal dynamics. It was fun.
And it was sweet. Like, Natasha said that she would block for Sheehan so that she could get, like, more time with Peter, that was nice.
I loved that.
It didn't work.
I'm a real sucker for female friendships
this
show. And we've gotten just a lot of real cruelty highlighted between the women. And I want more of these sweet moments like we saw. Mm-hmm. Just the good locker room talk.
Yeah. On The Bachelorette, they show that. Like, they show the men all hanging out and being friends. So I wish they'd do more of that on The Bachelor.
But... And I feel like they usually do. This season feels particularly bad in that respect to me.
Yeah. Although it's mostly them ganging up on, like, three different people.
Yeah. Maybe it's just that a lot of the women have been totally erased because group dates keep getting hijacked or, like, canceled. And Peter doesn't really know how to draw good boundaries.
Correct.
We're going to take a quick break, but when we get back, we'll have a whole lot more on the beauty and drama of Cleveland. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Lately, my social battery has actually been full to bursting. I feel like I've barely been able to see anyone all winter, especially with little kids at home and constant daycare bugs. And I'm just like dying to get out there and see some people. And, you know, it's actually been kind of hard at times over the winter to feel like I'm just desperate to see friends and I don't have time to do it.
I feel like we're constantly trying to regulate, like, what's the correct amount of social energy? What kind of space do we need to carve out to actually give ourselves the space to socialize? What space do we need to carve out to give ourselves time to actually recharge? Either way, therapy can give you some self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery or store it up a little too much.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/love to see it today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/love to see it. If you have a cat, you want your cat to be healthy and happy because, of course, that makes you happy.
But since, you know, people aren't mind readers, we don't always know when our cats are unwell.
So helping us keep tabs on our cat's health is just one reason you should use Pretty Litter.
Pretty Litter's ultra-absorbent crystals trap odor instantly. No more cat bathroom smell.
Pretty Litter's super light crystal base also minimizes mess and dust.
Here's the coolest thing about Pretty Litter. It actually changes color to help monitor early signs of potential illness in your cats, including urinary tract infections and kidney issues.
Plus, Pretty Litter ships free right to your door in a small, lightweight bag.
Our producer, Talon, has started using Pretty Litter for his cats, and he is a huge fan already. He's found that, like, the crystals really do soak up that odor, and cleaning the litter box is easier than it's ever been because it doesn't get all like weird and clumpy inside, which I remember so well from cleaning my cat's litter box.
Pretty Litter helps keep tabs on your cat's health and keep odors down.
You and your cat are going to love Pretty Litter as much as we do.
Go to prettylitter.com/LTSI and use code LTSI to save 20% on your first order.
That's prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI to save 20%.
prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI.
Terms and conditions apply. See site for details. Are you one of those people who thinks they don't have time to prioritize wellness? Yeah, guilty.
Well, Claire, Allo Moves is here to change that whole mindset for you.
The app makes it so easy to keep your wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place. There's yoga, Pilates, fitness classes. There's mindfulness and self-care tips, even healthy recipes, and so much more.
It's kind of wild how far-reaching Allo Moves goes. And their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour. It really just depends on what you have time for that day.
Trying to get in a good sweat? Then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like sweat-inducing yoga flows, HIIT classes, or former Pilates workouts with or without weights.
Or you can find stress relief with things like meditations, affirmations, or face yoga.
It's so hard to prioritize wellness when you have a busy job or kids or both. And now that I have both, it's so important to me to be able to squeeze in a workout when I have that random 5 minutes to an hour in between tapings after bedtime. It makes such a big difference how flexible it is and how easy it is to get what you need from the app.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves.
Go to allomoves.com now and use code LTSI20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code LTSI20.
allomoves.com, code LTSI20. One in five Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list.
If
Like us, that's you. Make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better.
One study even found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college.
Oh man, could have saved so much time. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. I recently was in France and Portugal, and I was trying my hand at getting more comfortable with French, really brushing up a little bit, and I found Babbel so helpful. I'm not going to say that I like arrived all fluent, but I did feel much more comfortable ordering food in restaurants, asking for directions, reading signs, speaking to people when I was buying something without having to constantly be consulting a language app.
Here's a special limited time deal for listeners.
Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/LTSI.
Get 55% off at babbel.com/LTSI.
Spelled BABBEL.com/LTSI.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
Let me set the scene. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at actually unbeatable prices.
I love it.
Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach.
Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. We truly love to see it.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
I love Quince, and I actually have a couple recent Quince purchases that I'm really excited about. I just ordered the Glow Boho hoops to have like kind of a chunkier version of my usual gold hoops to wear, like maybe on a date night or something. And they are beautiful. They're everything I dreamed of.
Indulge in affordable luxury.
Go to quince.com/LTSI for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/LTSI to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/LTSI.
And now back to the show.
So we head to the night portion of the date. It's all 13 women. They all keep talking about how the date is large and they can hardly fit on the couches. Even Peter walks in and says, wow, this is large. Which, Pete, my like, guy, yep. That's not how you like make these women feel better.
It's like, yep, you're mad. Want to keep being mad.
And then everyone is ready for like Shianne to get Peter first because she is obviously the MVP of the football game. And then, of course, Victoria P. pulls him first.
Which that was weird. I feel like that was encouraged by some
definitely, but I'm also just like, I'm out on Victoria P. after this episode.
Yeah.
I don't trust her. I don't really trust her either. We'll
get more into that, but yeah.
So, and I also, look,
she's
girl,
also seems so over the top.
You pulled off the scam of the century.
Yes.
Don't rub it in by having a conversation with Peter where all you say is, I just love football so much. Like, I wish I could have been out there playing.
And she was like, I'm just cheering on all these beautiful women that I've gotten to know. I just wanted to be out there. I was like, okay.
Like, any of these beautiful women would have preferred to be in your position. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh. She's just a lot. Talking about, like, having kids. Like, with him, seemingly, or, like, with a husband, but, you know.
But that husband is implied to be him.
Yeah. Yeah. The two of them, both Peter and Victoria P., seem, like, very quick, like, very serious. And I feel like it's probably going to flame out.
I agree. I think that often when people are overly effusive in a way that isn't earned, and this is, like, on the show, but also I feel like I've been in relationships with people that start off where they're saying all of these really intense things. And when it's not earned, like, that eventually usually reveals itself to not really have a lot of substance behind it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it feels like that's what's happening here. Like, it's like they both want to get married and have kids, so I guess we should do it together. And her vision of her life is just cheering on her kids at a football game, I guess, with her husband. That's all she wants, which I get. Look, it's good for her.
She doesn't mention being hot.
That's true.
Or him being successful.
As so, long as
that's fine.
As long as you can perhaps allow your children to get micro brain injuries.
Oh, yeah.
Then she'll be happy. Meanwhile, Sheehan is pissed. Maddie is pissed for her. I liked this side of Madison, this defender of
mean
other women.
Mean Madison. I like it.
Sheehan even says, do I have to be a shit person to get some dime?
Amazing.
I'm like, honestly, yes.
That's the line of the episode. You do.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. You have to be incredibly selfish. And also, the unfortunate reality is, like, Peter has to be into you.
That's what I was going to say. You have to have the lead like you. And I don't really get that sense.
I think he enjoys Sheehan as a person. They seem, but it feels really like a friendly vibe.
Well, especially, so she goes and gets her alone time with him. And she launches into it by saying she's really frustrated. She doesn't like that Victoria pulled him first. And I get it. Like, she should be able to express herself. But at the same time, it's just never a good move.
It's not a good move.
Like, you get so little time. And, like, spending it by being like, I'm upset is just not. It's not going to work.
Especially because Peter doesn't really care that much. So he's not that reassuring.
Yeah. He's like, oh, I know. It's frustrating.
Yeah, he gives her nothing.
Like, I'm glad I got to spend more time with Victoria P., who I like more, so.
And then, of course, Tammy is talking about Alea and how she just needs some time with Peter because the last two parties, like, half of the women got no time with Peter because Alea, you know, there was the Alea-Victoria P. drama happening. And then Alea comes up the stairs.
Looking just so pleased with
she is
the
smirking.
Fact that she's about to start some shit. She's like, this is awesome.
The women start yelling, like, there's a ghost in the room. The ghost of Alea walked in.
Do you think that was literally at the time that she was watching? Like, do you think she could hear them saying that?
It kind of
seemed
like
it, but that would be so weird.
That could have been editing.
I don't know. I was like, that's weird. I don't know how I would react.
I don't know either. I think I would have just been, like, shocked face.
Like, yeah. Like, Hannah Ann just had, like, a face with just her, jaw dropped. Just,
yeah.
Like, what?
And then Tammy looks at the camera and says, everyone is shooketh to the core.
I love Tammy.
I love Tammy, too. Alea, of course, interrupts poor Sheehan.
Amazing. Of course. They're trying to make Sheehan go insane.
And they're succeeding.
Yeah.
And Alea says she's there to clear her name. And she thinks that Peter let himself get manipulated. She didn't have a chance to defend herself. And she, you know, the initial conflict was about the fact that Alea allegedly wanted Victoria P. to lie to production.
Yes.
But then this part of the conflict sidesteps that and becomes about Victoria P. lying that they weren't friends.
Yes.
None of this seems consequential to me.
No, although I get why Peter gets upset because...
Same.
Victoria was very emphatic that they were not friends.
That they spent only three hours together.
So if I was in his situation and then I heard, like, no, we went on a trip.
To Vegas, like, four other people.
Like, I would be like, that's upsetting to
me. Yeah, that I think is more upsetting than Alea.
Alea's thing was it was weird because it was like, of course production will know. Like, you were Miss Texas and
also,
Miss
again, there
Louisiana.
Are literally
of course you've met. Like,
photos on social media of them in Vegas together.
So weird. Also, what was Victoria thinking, given that there are photos?
I think she thought
maybe
Alea
she just
will
meant
we're
not really good friends.
I think in her mind, she was saying, I don't really like her. But instead, she said, you know, we're not friends. I've only spent like 3 hours of quality time with her. Whatever. I don't know what. It doesn't make any sense. It's also just, it's a lie. It's not true.
Yeah. It was her truth.
I think it was her truth. She just doesn't like Alea, and that's fine. But... instead, it becomes this bigger thing. And Alea, in her mind, they were friends, which honestly makes sense. Because if you went on a group trip of five with someone, I, too, would think we were friends, even if we weren't best friends.
Yeah, at least like casual. Like I would say that was my, that's my friend.
Yeah, like I know her. Yeah. I know her.
They probably have each other's cell phone numbers.
We were texting up until we came on the show, you know. And Detective Pete is like, I am on the case. Someone is lying. Someone. Who could it be?
Yeah.
He's so distressed. So he pulls Victoria P. And he says, look, I trust you, but also I don't trust you at all.
I mean, correct.
Which is the correct thing. And Victoria doesn't try to deny it. She just says, my truth is the truth. And then just full white lady cries.
Yes.
She's like, if I just start crying about how I showed him my heart, then, you know, he won't be able to really accuse me of lying.
Yeah.
And Pete, I found this very calls manipulative. This out a little bit.
Yeah. I feel like, so Victoria has had this, like, very, like, her story is, like, very tragic. Like, I'm not trying to take away from that, obviously.
No.
But the way that she kind of brings up, like, I told you about this intense thing.
Or so she's implying that.
So therefore, like, I am a wonderful person and would never lie. It's just, it's manipulative. It seems like she's just trying to, like,
Let me tell you. Bad things can happen to people who do bad things.
Yeah.
Like, this is not, there's not, you don't have to be, like, a pure of heart person to have had something that's, like, genuinely tragic and difficult happen in your life.
Yeah.
Just going to put that out there.
And she doesn't necessarily have to be a horrible person to have, like, said something that was, like, kind of a lie. Like,
no.
Just be like, you know what? Like, in the moment, like, I was just kind of, like, freaking out. What I meant to say is that we, like, weren't really friends, but, like, we did go on this trip, but it was kind of, like, a weird, like, a bunch of, like,
and
state
I'm,
winners
I'm
or whatever.
That,
I'm really sorry.
I'm sorry I misrepresented that. Yeah. But it was.
He likes her. He would have probably forgiven her.
He would have figured out a way to get over it.
Yeah.
She cries a lot. And I also found it interesting that Victoria's whole thing with Alea was that Alea is manipulative.
Yeah.
And this felt more like manipulation than the Alea stuff. And now I feel like I'm, like, out here standing for Alea, but I don't even like Alea.
I know. It's very weird to be in a situation where I'm like, Alea's being bullied.
Yeah.
Well, I don't really feel that way, but yeah.
So Peter's
team,
like...
Team no one.
Team no one. They're both sort of liars, and also their lies are inconsequential, so I don't care.
Yeah.
It all just seems a little bit manufactured and silly. So Alea and Peter and Victoria P. all sit down. Pete's like, let's just settle it. Victoria P., they go into full pageant mode, just like
they give each other this big hug. Very weird.
It must be like
at a moment,
pageant
Victoria wipes
thing.
Like makeup slash a tear off of Alea's face.
It's
like,
really weird.
You guys aren't friends? Like, I wouldn't do that. I don't know.
It was really weird.
Their vibe is very strange. Alea comes off better, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
Victoria can't defend herself at all. She's just like, this is, I had to tell him because she reminds him again that I felt like I was falling, or like I had said that I was falling for him in love. And so she had to say it.
And Victoria has no defense.
No.
She just keeps saying, well, my truth, I thought Peter deserved what I felt like my truth was.
But this is like an objective fact. Like, did you guys hang out more than 3 hours or not?
And the answer is yes. Because you literally went to Vegas together. And then Pete, observant, says, I'm not deaf. I'm hearing what Alea is saying in front of Victoria. And she's making points.
True.
I mean, show me the
lie.
She's
making points.
Show me the lie. Oh, God. Peter is just staring at some sharks.
Some sharks. I love that.
It was good.
I was like, why are they in an aquarium? I guess so.
We never even established that, but it's they're somewhere where
there are large
tanks
that
of sharks.
A big tank. Yeah.
But
everybody
yeah,
else is furious.
Understandably, because they're like, yet another fucking date.
Yeah.
Where, like, a couple, like, white ladies are crying and no one else gets to speak to him.
And I feel like, so just from reading, like, Charlene Joint's, the former contestant, her blog, like, one thing she always points out is that they also are forced to talk about it. So it's not just frustration about, like, their time being taken, their time with Peter. It's also, like, they're forced to sit on a couch and, like, continually talk about Alea.
In groups and
like, hey, like, what do you think about Alea? Like, over and over. Like, I would just go nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think all these women are really frustrated at the show, and they're really frustrated at Peter.
Yeah, because Peter's letting it happen.
And the rest of this episode to me felt like a lot of almost misdirected anger, because it's not totally that productive. There's not really a good way for them to be able to be angry at Peter. So instead, that anger is directed at Alea.
Yes.
Who is just like the symbol for the thing that's very frustrating.
Right.
And Peter, you know, forces the women on this already very tight couch to scoot over while he brings Alea in and says, you know, I got influenced and I didn't trust my heart. And, you know, I just have to follow my heart. So I'm giving Alea the group day rose. And then he just leaves.
Yeah. And a bunch of women haven't talked to him yet.
He's like, oh, yeah, I'm sorry about that. But this is my heart.
Yep. Yeah, if I were them, I'd be really mad. And they are.
They're very mad.
They are mad at him, though.
They are mad at him.
They voice that more than in the past.
I want to say a couple of them voice it.
Yeah.
Natasha voices, does not misdirect her rage. Deandra voices her anger.
Mm-hmm.
Tammy, I think, voices her frustration at Peter. But a lot of them kind of just talk around it and end
totally.
Up being really mean to Alea, who also is not particularly nice. Natasha just gets up and is like, fuck this, I'm leaving, which good for her.
I'm very, I get it. Like, I get tricked, and I don't know why I allow myself to get tricked by the teasers, but I had thought that they got up and left in the middle of the date
from
the teaser, and I thought that was so awesome. I was like, hell yeah.
Peter really beat them to it, though, because he didn't leave them time.
Left.
He left them no time to walk out, because the first time they saw him, he, like, gave a rose and bolted.
Yeah.
They were robbed of that moment.
Totally.
And the next day, the women are still upset. And, of course, you know, mostly at Alea.
We missed a key moment, which is that Alea was like, what's going on in the house? And then she's like, actually, I know everything. She's been, like, off reading Twitter or Reality Steve or whatever. And she tells some of the women that Victoria dated Chase Rice.
Yeah. And what are your thoughts on this? Do you feel like she's just kind of dumb?
I think she was trying to start shit. Just the way she said it. She was like, oh, you guys didn't know?
It was
like,
weird.
Of course they didn't know.
They could have known if Victoria had chosen to talk about it or if production had made it a thing.
I'm curious whether she knew actually from the internet or whether she knew
from
producers.
Oh, I think she read Reality Steve. The way she was talking about it, because Reality Steve,
I mean, that date was huge. There were a bunch of people there, so I'm sure it was out there. I avoid reading it,
but while filming is happening, I know that Reality Steve is reporting and, like, posting.
Yeah.
This is why I don't follow him on Twitter, because I don't want to be, like, accidentally bombarded by
stuff. And he's really annoying.
to each his own. But he does post, you know, photos and videos in real time.
Yeah, so, and there were a lot of people on that date.
Yeah,
they had their cell phones out.
I'm sure she saw that. I'm sure she had read that Victoria has a past with Chase. Like, there were a lot of people around. The whole thing, to me, just seemed like a dumb move, you know?
Yes.
Like, you're coming back. You should try to ingratiate yourself or at least lay low.
Yeah.
Instead, she just starts spilling all the tea.
Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, she just likes being the center of attention, I think, which is fine.
Most of these women do.
Yeah. You're on TV.
I get it. I mean, I don't get it, but, like, I get it intellectually.
I've watched enough of this show that I get it, but, yeah. It's not wise, but...
So we still have to talk about an entire other one-on-one, which I almost forgot happened.
I know. Me too. I was like, oh, we're doing fine on time, but no. Kelsey. She gets the date of just wandering around, which I always actually think seems like a pretty good date. I mean, I have no strong desire to wander around Cleveland. No offense to Cleveland, but they get to chat. They get to, like, laugh together. They seem like they're having a lot of fun. Dancing, riding around in little, what are those called?
The soap
cars?
Soapbox
cars?
I think so. Right?
I don't know. Little cars.
Yeah, the soapbox racing, yeah. I think.
Yeah.
And
they look like they have fun.
They look like they had fun. They got to hang out with some cute tweens.
Yeah. Peter says that she is a no drama person, which I loved. I was like, she caused so much drama for you.
There's been so much that's happened since then, though, that's that true. Peter has conveniently forgotten. Like Champagne Gate, Kelsey's so lucky. Champagne Gate is seems like a fun time now.
I wonder if her and Hannah Ann just kind of patched it up.
I think they did.
And now they're cool, so it's just like not worth pushing anymore.
I think, and from Peter's perspective, you know, I think it was one night where Kelsey was upset, but he didn't really.
And he didn't see some
of
the bad
that much of it.
Like, I would be very turned off if I found out somebody I was, like, early stage dating, like, you know, was like, you're a bitch, like, you're a princess to somebody. I would be like,
Hannah did tell on Kelsey, but I think
But he didn't see it. I agree.
I think he didn't see it.
It became a she said, she said. And it wasn't really came off petty. And
it wasn't really about him. Like, now the drama is really involving him.
Yes. Yeah, he can't ignore it.
Right. So Kelsey's just like a breath of fresh air. He's like, bring on the champagne. And also, you know, Kelsey is a little bit older. And I wonder if that comes across in their one-on-one time.
She came off very mature when he told her about Alea coming back.
Yes, I agree.
She said, you know, I think it's important that if we end up together that you don't have any questions.
Leave You've considered questions. Everyone. You've,
yeah. And so I think that's fine. He was really appreciative of that. I think, you know, even if that's not really how she feels, I have no idea, but it's a smart answer. It's a good way to answer it.
It's a great way to answer it.
You come off mature, you make him feel better.
Also feel like she was in the best position to react well to it because her time was not sacrificed because Alea returned.
I was confused. Wouldn't she know? Didn't Alea, although Alea maybe seemed like she was in a different hotel room when they were talking later.
So I don't even know that it's that. I think it's also that probably this date started very early in the morning
and
they didn't
asleep.
And they didn't finish filming that other date probably till like 3 a.m. So I thought, oh, they could have just literally missed each other.
Yeah, that's totally true.
I bet the other women are allowed to sleep in a little bit after that kind of night.
I hope so.
So Kelsey, you know, during the night portion of the date, they get to have a little dinner, which obviously they don't touch. But overlooking the Cleveland skyline, this reminded me a little bit of kind of like the Dumbo waterfront in New York.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice. They had a good view. The weather looked nice.
And Cleveland. Visit
Cleveland. Very beautiful. The most beautiful place to fall in love. And Peter just wants to, you know, understand what makes Kelsey Kelsey.
He really just sets her up in a kind of weird, like, it's like he knows this is the time in the one-on-one date where you tell me
your trauma,
like, deepest trauma, and I, like, nod
and say
wow,
you're strong.
I see why you are the way you are. Like, if just felt very, like, here is the formula. And so she told her story, which was very sad about
incredibly
her parents
sad.
Getting divorced. And it sounded like her dad just basically left her mom out of the blue. And she found out first because there was a note in his wedding ring on the counter. I didn't get a sense of how old she was. She just came home from basketball practice.
And she then didn't see him for 12 years. And she's 28.
So sad.
So
he, like, moved to Mexico, started a new family.
New family.
Sounded awful.
It sounded really, really awful.
Yeah.
And so she said she was basically, you know, raised by a single mom.
Yeah.
For most of her childhood. And Peter says, I respect that so much about you, which is a weird response. Like, I respect it so much that your dad left your mom.
Right.
Like, what?
I think what he's getting at is that he really respects single moms.
Yes.
But
that's not about
Kelsey.
Her.
It's like, wow, I really respect that your mom must be really strong.
Right. It would have made sense if he had said, wow, I really respect, you know, have like a lot of respect for women who raise kids on their own. My grandmother and my mom came to this country, just the two of them.
Which that was interesting.
Which he then goes into. It was interesting. It was just sort of an odd segue. And it's part of this Bachelor ethos, which assumes that parents' histories and marriages reflect directly on, like, the morality of the contestants.
You're allowed sort of to have parents who are divorced, but only if you've learned some big lesson from it.
And you definitely, like, only want your grandparents' marriage now because you have, in fact, seen a marriage that didn't end.
Although she didn't say how long her grandparents have been married, which I felt was a real misogyny.
Yeah, it's true. It's you have to, like, tout that
That's
anniversary
required.
Number. Do you know how long, like, your grandparents were
I do
married?
Because they had their 65th anniversary like 2 years ago.
I'm like, I mean, look, 3 out of 4 of my grandparents are dead, but I don't think I knew how long they were married.
I only know because they hit that milestone.
Yeah.
I mean, otherwise I wouldn't. And even now I'm like, I think it was 2 years ago.
Right. It's just, it's not a thing that most people necessarily like count every year their grandparents were married.
Well, she didn't. So.
She didn't. Yeah.
Their date ends well. They seem happy. They seem into each other.
She gets the rose and fireworks go off. And then we get a lot of bickering.
Back to the drama.
For the rest of the episode. Victoria F. has learned that Alea revealed the huge secret that she once went on some dates with a guy who plays country music.
I thought it was interesting since this anger was like all sent toward Alea from all the women about this moment that you could have also seen like a scenario where they would all be mad at Victoria F. Like, oh my gosh, she didn't tell us this. Like, what's she trying to hide?
But they're also ready to be angry at Alea that this is just.
It's a great bonding thing for all of them to hate Alea as much as they do.
And this just gives
them. Kind of like Luke P. last season.
Absolutely. And it gives them a good excuse for that anger. You know, oh, she told Victoria F.'s secret. How could she? They do not know what the word manipulative means.
Yes, that's true.
They're like, she is so manipulative.
She's a gossip.
Yeah.
And a shit stirrer, for sure.
I like to gossip. So
I love to gossip.
I relate.
That's what we're doing literally right now.
That is why I have this show, just so I can gossip and make
Say
it my
it's
profession.
For work.
Yeah. But I don't think that behavior is particularly manipulative. You have to be a little bit smarter about it to actually
really
be manipulative.
Yeah, like what's her end game for it?
It's totally unclear.
Like nothing.
So Victoria confronts Alea. And Victoria has made such a big deal about how she's so meek and, you know, she doesn't really take that many risks. She goes in and this is a girl who knows how to fight.
Yes.
She knows how to fight with other women.
Yeah.
Because she is like, you're a manipulative bitch. You're not just going to come in here and talk about me. You're fake. I'm not. Like, Peter's going to fucking know who you are. I mean.
Yeah.
Woo, 0 to 100, Victoria Fuller.
She doesn't seem meek in any way. Like,
No. There was not a whisper in this conversation.
No whispering. No hiding in the corner. That's saved for when you're talking to men.
Right. Yeah. Men.
Gotta cry.
Classically are known.
It's a way to fix the fight.
They just love when you're like, Peter, it's just really hard for me. Like, heights are really hard for me.
Yeah. They have to comfort you then.
I'm so scared.
Whereas Alea just like lay down the law.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Alea.
Yeah. And Sydney is just having her moment because she hates Alea.
Yes.
She says Alea
started all of this.
Dark cloud. All of this just seems really stupid.
It all seems like a situation where Alea wouldn't have to affect them so much if they weren't, first of all, you know, to defend them a little, like if they weren't being forced to talk about it, which I'm sure they are. But also just like, don't let her get to you. It's easier to say than to do. But like.
And I think for some of the women, again, they're really pissed at the show and pissed at Peter. So,
yeah.
But then they have to talk about Alea. So that's where their anger kind of goes. Like Natasha says, you know, that was our rose. Like, Alea got a rose that was supposed to go to one of us. And I like that Natasha actually articulated more than once.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think Peter knows what he wants. And I agree with her.
That seems true. Yeah.
I don't think he knows himself. I don't think he has much of a backbone. He's a really hard time making decisions.
It seems like every woman he goes out with, he likes.
He's seen their heart.
He's all in on each one of them.
And he can't really articulate what he actually likes about any of them.
No.
Other than just he knows they have a good thing.
They seem strong and they're,
And they're beautiful and have a beautiful heart.
Yeah.
And he's seen that.
Yeah.
And they want
And then anything anybody says to him, he's like, oh, that sounds true.
And then he goes to someone else. He's like, wait,
he's
but
like,
that also sounds true.
Yeah. Not very discerning.
Really all over the place. So Pete shows up to the cocktail party and all of the women are stone-faced pissed.
Amazing.
I loved it.
It was so good.
Deandra, a real shining moment for Deandra.
I know who, until this episode, I had no idea who she was.
Yeah, because they don't allow her to speak on camera. She cuts in and kind of says, I've never in my life felt so under-recognized by someone. We have literal bruises on our bodies. And then you walk in with Alea. And Natasha chimes in and supports her and says, you know, we were really, really hurt. Mm-hmm. And I was like, first of all, of course, it's the women of color who are left to actually confront this dude.
Yeah.
Like, all the white women are out here, like, cowering in the background, like, smiling and, like, just talking shit about Aleya. So I really appreciated that we saw a few of these women go to Peter and say, this is really frustrating. There is anger here.
Well, and they're showing that they, like, see themselves as having, like, value in this as well.
Yes.
Like, they're
that's
like,
such a good
you know,
point.
I need to be, I would like to feel respected.
Right. Respect
and I did
my
not
time.
Feel respected.
Respect my time. Respect
this.
That I'm here for you and you
yeah,
are not treating
are
that with respect.
These people are giving up a lot of their lives to be there. So,
and at
Natasha
the very least,
seems is the oldest in the house, I
yes,
believe.
By years.
And yeah, always comes off as she, you know, she's got, seems like she has experience dating, like, has thoughts on how she
I mean,
should be
the
treated.
Girl has dated in New York. She's not trying to have her time wasted.
Yeah.
And yeah. At the very least, I think they expect to be given the respect of, you know, 3 minutes with him.
Exactly. Just getting skipped over at the, that's a
over
a
and
insult.
Over again. Not
and
just
then
once.
Somebody else getting the rose. And
it's an indignity.
Natasha's still sitting there with her knee wrapped up. Yeah, I'd be furious. Victoria
Peter,
P, very pissed.
Peter handled this terribly, though.
Oh, yeah.
He just says, you know, I apologize, but you need to accept my apology.
I also didn't like that he apologized only to the two women who spoke up when really they were speaking about the frustration of everybody
Everyone.
On the date. It wasn't just about
no.
the two of them. I mean,
it was about him not respecting any of their time.
Yeah.
But Peter is very much a people pleaser.
Yes.
He just wants people to like him. So he's like, please, please just accept my apology. But then instead of taking any actions that would make them feel better,
like pulling
like
one of them
pulling
first.
One of them aside, he's like, but I actually have to keep excavating, you know, the truth of Aleya.
Yeah.
So, Victoria P, maybe give me your insights for the fifth time
yes.
about how you don't trust Aleya. And Victoria P is pissed, I think largely for the same reasons as Deandra and Natasha.
Yeah.
She's pissed at Peter. And she's pissed that he kind of threw her under the bus a little bit. Even though, and part of me is like, she has a right to call Peter out, but then her reasoning was bad because she made it about Aleya again.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I kind of liked when Aleya did come back earlier, she said, I'll come back, but we need to, like, put this in the past. And it would have been great if they had.
I agree.
I liked another, like, thing I felt like kind of spoke to behind the scenes when Victoria P was like, he asked her to sit. Which she ended up doing, but she said, I've had days to sit. And I like that. Then she was like,
yeah.
I have done nothing but, like, sit around and, like, I want to talk
to you. Think about
know.
This shit and not yeah. be able to talk to you.
Yeah, but, you know, it didn't seem like, I mean, she still doesn't have, like, a good reason for it.
No, but I do think she's just frustrated at Peter, which did feel warranted. But then she goes, yeah, just talks more about Aleya and then
she brings
tells,
up the
she
Chase
brings
Rice
up the Victoria
thing,
Fuller thing.
Tells him to go talk to Victoria about it.
Yeah. And Natasha is frustrated, you know, that Aleya had said that because for a reason that I thought made a lot more sense, which is, hey, you've been on the outside world. You've had access to all this information. None of us have had access to that. So to, like, lord it over everyone feels really frustrating. And it's almost like Aleya is pointing out that the playing field isn't
yeah.
even, isn't level. And Aleya, again, is like, I didn't come back for any petty drama, which is
untrue. I literally
untrue.
Don't have time for this.
You, like,
you literally
you
do.
You literally do. You literally have all the time in the
you,
world for this.
Yeah,
because that's
nothing
your job
else
right
to
now.
Do. Nothing going on.
And Peter sits down with Victoria Fuller. I'm going to start calling her VF. And she's like, I'm so embarrassed. It was just between me and you that and all of our hundreds of friends who were at the private concert that Chase Rice and I dated, and now everyone knows. And Peter, again, people pleaser, is horrified by this. Which,
yeah.
again, why? It doesn't seem like that big of a deal to me.
All of it could just be resolved by her being like, ah, so awkward.
Yeah.
Nobody's mad. Like, none of the women are giving her a hard time about it.
No, she's not suffered from this.
She doesn't need to be embarrassed.
It's just ammo for...
Chase Rice was kind of cute.
Totally. He was cute.
You don't need to be
good
embarrassed.
Beard. Good
yeah.
beard. Peter's trying to be his bro. Like,
yeah.
it speaks well for her. But, again, this just turns into, like, a barrage of frustration directed at Aleya to Peter. So, first, Victoria Fuller says this. Then Sydney, again, says that... kind of calls Peter out for knowing nothing about her, which is true. But she blames Elena.
I like that she was
this.
Like, you don't even know my middle name. Like, is that important?
He probably doesn't know anyone's middle name.
No.
And why would you? Like, yeah, I've dated people for, like, significant amounts of time and not known their middle name. You have to, like, really, like, specifically ask for that because it's not
going to be something
that
relevant.
It's not relevant to anything. And so Peter's like, after hearing all of this, the answer is talk to Alea again because all the women are very frustrated that I keep talking about and to Alea. So I should probably do it again. And Alea, of course, says, I'm getting torn to shreds. And Peter's response is, can you explain why everyone hates you?
I mean, not in his defense of this question, but I would be very concerned if I was dating somebody who, like, everyone hated.
I would be, too.
I feel like that seems fat.
And I get that
what's
he...
going on. But she...
I get
she
he doesn't
say?
Understand, but, like, how... Yeah, there's no good
She's
answer.
Like, it's because I do suck.
It's either... You're right. She either needs to, like, own that she did something horrible, or she's put in the position to be like, I am everyone's victim. I've done nothing.
Yeah, she's like, I have a big personality. People don't like it.
And Peter is so stressed out. He's like, he's got to loosen his tie. He's in his ITM. He's like sweating.
He can tell
he cannot
handle
the pressure.
Bachelor at all.
No, I'm like, bring Mike in. Just switch this guy out. Poor Petey. Poor Petey. It's too much. He is very upset that in trying to be a people pleaser, everyone actually is angry at him. And this is, you know what? This is actually a useful lesson.
Yeah. It is.
When you try to people please and just want everyone to like you, it doesn't work.
Especially it's with, like, if it's with a bunch of people you're dating at the same time. Like, it's not going to be a success.
And this is why, and, you know, people had their own frustrations with, like, Nick Vial's season. But Nick was so good at making decisions.
He was so decisive. He would be like, you know what, I don't like this person, send them home. He didn't bring people back.
And also, if he wanted someone to stick around that other people didn't like, he was like, that's your problem, but... I'm going to kind of shut this down because this is my decision.
Yeah.
And if Peter had just said, I like Alea, that is why she's back here. I'm excited to spend time with all of you, but I think we need to move past this and no one talk about it because this is the decision I'm making, it would have shut it down.
Yeah. I think the problem is now it's also about whether Victoria P. is a liar. And so he wants to figure that out. But, I mean, again,
he's... But also he's figured it out.
Can't.
She did lie.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. Like, the lies weren't consequential.
It matters or it doesn't. Like, if he is bothered, he should just let her go. And maybe he will. We didn't get a rose ceremony this week. I don't think he will.
I don't think any of them are going home.
He's still at the point where he can get rid of all the people he's just not into.
Exactly.
So.
Like, we know, like, Deandra's, like, you know, or...
She is so beautiful.
She's so beautiful. I want her on... She'll be on Paradise, I feel like. A lot of these women are just going to get their due in Paradise. But this end of the episode, we end on a cliffhanger, and it's just women yelling over each other.
Yeah, you can't even decipher really what people are saying. It's just fighting.
They're just fighting about Alea, but also someone's a liar and someone else is a liar. And then it just says to be continued, and Peter is pacing, and it seems like everyone wants to leave. So
they should just end
they
the
should
season.
Just end and put us out of our misery right now.
He can go back to Hannah Brown.
Honestly, still the premiere was my favorite episode of the season. And then we get a little credit sequence that was kind of cute with Victoria Fuller and Peter shooting hoops, and Victoria Fuller yells Kobe.
Yeah,
as Peter attempts to make a basket, which he does not.
Peter's bad at basketball.
Peter's real bad at basketball, which I found endearing.
Yeah, and I found her to be likable in this too.
I agree, and also it was like an odd timing.
Yeah, I wonder if Kobe. That was a last minute ad. It seemed like a normal clip that they would have,
and I think that is like a thing. A lot of people say that, but it was a weird timing between that and like the tiny plane. It was a lot of like, what? But also, I guess, sort of a sweet tribute at the end there. And that's where we end. My God.
So much. Yeah.
And more tears to look forward to next week.
Yep. Should we end our episode by just like fighting back and forth for
at least
10 minutes?
You're a liar. Sarah's a liar.
Sarah,
you know what? That bitch Sarah over there is a liar because she lied. I know she lied because she's not here for the right reason. And now it's time for Feminism Fails, our first most specific one, because there are a few more general femme fails, was Victoria's really ham-fisted weird cheers. Cheers to our sons having hot moms and successful dads. I'm going to give that one a 4 just for the really kind of gross, stereotypical gendered language. This felt really, really sexist, and I hope for Victoria and all women that they can see themselves as having value outside of just being hot or not. And I also hope that men don't just have to be, you know, breadwinners to be successful men or successful fathers. So, yeah, I didn't love it.
Yeah. The next one is all the misdirected anger at Alea when really they're all mad at Peter. We're going to give that a 3.5. That was just kind of an instance of, you know, women should be allowed to say that they, like, have some level of worth and deserve respect from the guy that they're seeing. And so, it, you know, it should be okay for them to be pissed at Peter, not just turn it all on another woman.
And then finally, the repeated uses of the words bitch and fake. This all felt really, really gendered and pretty cruel. We rarely see men labeled as fake. It feels sort of rooted in this assumption that women are not to be trusted. You know, there's some sort of inherent, like, double personality or new face that a woman can put on. And we just don't see men really being described this way, even though I'm sure men are just as likely to, you know, act a little bit differently when they're being recorded on camera, which,
yeah,
seems pretty normal. So going to give that one a 4, and also, like, just don't call another woman a bitch if you can avoid it. Just put it out there. And that's it for Here to Make Friends. Thanks to our guest and guest co-host, Elise Foley, and of course, our producers, Nick Offenberg and Sarah Patterson.
Please subscribe to Here to Make Friends wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a moment of Peter's season recaps, and give us a 5-star rating and review.
Give us a follow on Facebook and Instagram at Here to Make Friends Pod.
And you can follow us individually on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at Elise Foley.
And I'm at Emma Lady Rose.
Emma and Lee will be back next week for episode 5.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You can start your day off right when you find a professional on Angie to get your plumbing right first. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Visit Angie.com. You can do this when you Angie that.